Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
My Indigo Baby by Kate. My youngest daughter has always had an almost prophetic ability to foretell events. It started when she was extremely young, about 2 years old, with almost inconsequential things like weather. For example, there wouldn't be a cloud in the sky, and she'd say, "Rain is coming, Mommy." And I would just say, "Oh no, baby, it's not supposed to rain today." But you could bet within the next 2 hours, it would be black with heavy rain clouds and severe temperature drops. Then it became a bit more eventful, with her predicting several of my pregnancies when it was a few days before I could even take an accurate pregnancy test. But those pale in comparison to an event that took place nearly 15 years ago that gives me chills even now. We lived in a house that was shaped like an uppercase I, with the living room at one end and a bathroom at the other end of a long, narrow hallway, with bedrooms on either side of the wall. One evening I woke up in the middle of the night. Everyone in the house was asleep and had been for quite a while. I'm feeling pretty thirsty, so I get up and walk across the hall to the kitchen. Now, I didn't make this statement out loud. I don't talk to myself out loud, and there was no one else awake. But as I exited my bathroom, I could feel someone else's presence in the hallway. I look towards the end of the hall where the bathroom is and see my now 4-year-old daughter standing with her face in the corner. As I startle, my daughter turns her head very slowly towards me, her long, dark hair hanging in her face, and says, "I'm thirsty too, Mommy." Full body chills. While I am sufficiently freaked out, I have to remain calm so I don't scare my daughter. So I just say, "Oh, okay, baby, let's get you back to bed, and Mommy will get you some water." As my daughter sipped her water, I silently prayed for whatever she was experiencing to leave her alone immediately. She's a high school junior now and doesn't remember this event at all, except for my retellings, but she's still extremely empathetic and in tune with the universe around her.
My brother visited us after he died, by Glutton King. Last summer, sadly, my brother overdosed. He was dead by the time that I got to him in the morning. Paramedics were able to quote-unquote revive him when they arrived at the house, and I put revive in quotation marks because while they were able to get his organs working through machines and devices, he was dead when I found him. I believe his spirit had left his body sometime during the night when he passed. He was rushed to the hospital and placed on every machine imaginable in the ICU. After a full day there, we decided that we were going to let him go. That night, we all came home, grieved some more together, and decided that it was time for bed. Now, my mom couldn't sleep, so she went downstairs to watch TV. She felt some presence around her. She didn't know if she was just grieving or imagining things, but she was scared. She kept looking off to her right into the dark dining room, eventually turning on a lamp to comfort herself. She always watches TV in the pitch dark at night when she's trying to sleep. Around this time, I had gone to bed with my girlfriend. I remember saying verbatim, "I'm not saying I'm looking for a sign, but I'm kind of looking for a sign. Just something that I could have. Something to let me know that my brother was at peace." Before I decided I was going to bed, I said, "I don't care if it's one time and never again. I just want something." That's when my mom knocked on my door and told me I needed to come downstairs. I followed her, and she walked out the front door to a woman whom I didn't recognize, someone who was sobbing uncontrollably. I stopped on the porch because I was extremely hesitant. Why was my mom hugging this stranger and crying? I didn't know what to make of it. My mom then opened the door and said, "It's Michael." Now, my first thought was, okay, my mom is losing it. But regardless, I knew I had to be there for her and hear her out. When I got outside, my mom explained what had happened. She was sitting on the couch, scared, watching TV, when she heard a knock at our window. When she walked to the door, it was the neighbors from down the street, people we had never really met. It was a couple in their mid-30s who lived just a few houses away. Outside of waving hello in the morning, they were total strangers as far as I was concerned. They certainly didn't know who my brother was or that he had passed. The woman was crying harder than I had ever seen anyone cry in my life. She and her husband had just gotten back from a friend's house. When they pulled up to their own home, she grabbed the outside railing and said, "No, I can't go in there. I have to go home and say I'm sorry." Her poor husband had no idea what she meant, but she insisted that she couldn't go inside until she walked to our house. So, reluctantly, he walked her down to our place. It's also important to note, she doesn't speak English. Her husband does, but not 100% fluently. So as she was hugging and kissing my mom, clinging to her like my mom had raised her, he was translating what she was saying. "I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry for being bad. I'm sorry for all of the bad things I did." This is just some of what was said during the translation. I had never seen someone sob like that, and when she let go of my mom, she turned and hugged me. At first, I was skeptical, but as soon as I felt her hug, I understood it. It was my brother. I said out loud, "Michael, you're forgiven. You're loved. We love you, Michael." I said this hoping that it would help him understand that we understood he was there. At that point, she started crying even harder, and her husband translated her next words, "I'll always watch over you, brother." After that, it was like all of the life drained from her body. She collapsed into her husband's arms. He lowered her gently to the ground, and she stopped crying for a moment. Her eyes were closed, and she smiled. She said, "I love you," in English. Eventually, we had to go get my dad. We went through more of the same. The only two things she said in English were, "I love you," and "Is my dad okay?" My dad was the one who found my brother that morning, and he's the most cautious of the supernatural of all of us. But even he broke down when she hugged and kissed him. I remember him saying, "Is this real?" as they embraced. My dad is not the hippy-dippy type. To this day, I don't know how I convinced him to come downstairs, out of a deep sleep, to experience something paranormal. But he did, and it changed him. After we assured the woman that my dad was okay, her husband was able to get her back into the house for the night. The next morning, my mom and I walked down to their house to see if she was okay. She had gone through so much emotion and energy. We wanted to make sure that she was all right. Her husband came out and talked to us for a while. He said she had to call out of work because she was so tired, something she never does. He told us that sometimes she sees things in her dreams or feels things, but it's always related to her family or his. Something like this has never happened to either of them. When she finally came out, she was quiet and reserved. It was such a stark contrast from the emotional power that she had the night before. She said that she didn't remember anything, but that she was happy that we got some kind of closure from it. I'm sorry that this was so long. I just wanted to explain it as well as I could to share the story. I grew up going to church and Catholic school. But around the time I was 9 or 10, my family stopped going, especially as more and more negative press about the church started to come out in the news. I continued at Catholic school through high school, but we didn't really consider ourselves rooted in any faith. But after this experience, I'm not exactly sure what is going on in this world. I just know this was all the proof I needed to believe that you don't cease to exist after death. My brother was a troubled person, like I said, but he loved us so much, and he couldn't possibly move on to the next phase of this existence without seeing my mom again. She was the only one not home when he passed. I hope this story helps anyone out there who's struggling with the thought of afterlife versus no afterlife. Or hopefully, it just entertains you. Either way, thanks for listening.
Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Haunted Dog Grooming Salon by Becca. I'm a dog groomer, and I've been working in a grooming salon for about 8 years now. I actually bought the business in 2024. It's mine now. My former employer and I started working together when she hired me as her assistant. We were renting the space inside someone else's salon at the time, but we eventually outgrew that setup and moved into our own space. That space is part of an office suite, and we later found out that the building itself used to be part of a motel. It had been moved from another location entirely. The place has a small lobby, which is really more hallway-sized, and the front desk counter is the first thing you see when you walk in. To the right are the grooming tables where we place the dogs for their haircuts. To the left are the kennels where the dogs wait to be picked up. Beyond that is the employee bathroom, and a little nook where we keep a fridge and microwave. We take our breaks there a lot since we can still keep an eye on the kennels in the front door. In the back of our bathing room is the only separate room in the whole place. We call it the office, even though it's mostly storage with a desk inside. Right next to, but not touching, that room is a door that leads out to the back parking lot. When we first moved in, everything was painted in bright pinks and greens. We used to get a lot of comments about how cheerful the place looked. I've since repainted. Too much pink is gross. The dogs seemed to sense that it was a happy place too. Once they got to know us, they'd usually come in, wagging their tails. It's always been a nice place to work. But my employer and I figured out pretty quickly that it was haunted. At first, it was just a vibe, that feeling you're not alone. I'd be in the bathing room with a dog, and even though she'd be out front doing a haircut, I'd still feel watched. Little things would move, stuff would get knocked over in the night, that sort of thing. One time, my boss was alone in the shop, working at her grooming table, when she noticed movement near the bathroom. She blinked and told herself it was nothing. Later that day, she went into the snack area to grab her bag and couldn't pick it up. The handle was looped around the feet of the mini fridge. Essentially, someone or something had lifted the fridge, slid her bag handle underneath, and set it back down. She hadn't heard a thing, and nobody else was there. That was the first truly startling moment. Another time, I was checking out a customer and sending their dogs home. The pups were waiting quietly by their owner's table, and we were just casually chatting. When suddenly, a ceramic dog figurine fell off the top of the kennel and smashed onto the floor. It made a loud crack, but miraculously, it only lost one leg. Now, if there'd been other dogs in the kennel, or even someone else nearby, I might have chalked it up to something shifting, but there wasn't. These are solid, sturdy wooden kennels. They don't move, ever. Me and the client just stared at each other, wide-eyed, then kind of shivered. We eventually laughed it off, but yeah, it was a jump scare. I was glad I wasn't alone for that one. As the business grew, we brought more people onto the team. Some lovely, some not so much. I don't tell new hires about the ghost right away, but after a few months, when we've built a bit of trust, I might mention it or share a recent incident. And weirdly, talking about the ghost seems to make it more active. The last time I brought it up with a newer coworker, we noticed a huge puddle of shampoo had been pumped out onto the floor. The bottle we use has one of those push-down dispensers. Only a little comes out at a time, but you really have to apply pressure. You can't pump it by accident. It had been fine just minutes before. I used it, chatted about the ghost, and then boom, shampoo everywhere. We both got goosebumps. Every time I share the story, the new person always breathes a sigh of relief. Okay, they say. I thought I was the only one. They usually have stories of their own by then, and a lot of them sound very familiar. The biggest one we hear over and over is about the corner between the office and the back exit. Multiple coworkers have said they've glanced up and thought they saw someone standing there. Some have even described a blonde woman. I've caught a shadow in that corner, out of the corner of my eye before, but I didn't think much of it until a dog noticed it too. Bentley was about a year old at the time. He's a Shih Tzu with a massive personality. Sweet, smart, and so teachable. I always give the puppies wiggle breaks to play. It helps them learn when they need to be still. This one day, I was drying Bentley in the back room before anyone else had arrived. A few hours into my shift, my coworkers started showing up, and Bentley happily greeted all three as they walked past us. But once everyone was in the front again, Bentley turned and stared into that back corner. He cocked his head, then he started to growl. Not a frantic growl, more of a low, uneasy warning. He whined a little, growled again, didn't take his eyes off the corner. I even got a short video of it, which creeped out my coworkers big time. He never did it again after that, but based on everything else we've seen in that corner, yeah, I believe he was sensing something. The most intense moment involving that back corner happened when two workers and I all had dryers running at the same time. They aren't terribly loud, they're dog safe, but we still wear ear protection from the constant noise. I was mid-groom when I noticed the coworker to my right, who was closest to that back corner, turn off her dryer. Then the other girl turned hers off. I looked over, and they were both staring at the office door. I turned off my dryer. "What's going on?" The girl closest to the door said, "I heard that and thought, what the hell?" The other one added, "I heard it too." Then I heard it, knocking from inside the office. It escalated to a rattling sound. The door, this old wooden door, was visibly shaking inside the latch. Now, this is probably where I admit I'd be the first to die in a horror movie, because instead of freezing, I got pissed. The ghost was interrupting my work. I stormed over, flung the door open, and snapped. "Stop it. That's annoying." We laughed about it later, but the activity did stop. It didn't come back that day. We burn sage regularly and don't think whatever's there is evil. It feels like part of the building, like the creaks in the floors or drafts from the old windows. As long as we respect the energy, I believe it'll respect us, but that doesn't mean I'll let some ethereal being push me around. The rattling didn't return for over a year. When it did, I was with a new assistant, just hired, like I had been all those years ago. Same knocking, same growing intensity. My assistant, wide-eyed, called my attention to it. I sighed, "Hey, stop that." And just like before, it stopped. I laughed. My assistant didn't. She just looked at me with huge eyes, and I said, "Yeah, that's part of working here."
A Ghost Explained How to Cross Dimensions in a Dream by Agus Orris. In my dream, there was a ghost who kept turning on and playing with my video game console. At first, there was a slight uneasiness or fear, but I reasoned that such fear was just unnecessary. So, I approached the ghost. I asked him how he was able to cross over from the spiritual realm to interact with the physical. His response was surprisingly detailed. He said that you have to go into a meditative-like state where you can direct your focus to the idea of subtle and light presences around you. He said the gentle and light movement of one's fingertips is a good thing to focus on as it mirrors the mental subtleness needed to be grasped. You will eventually begin to notice other presences, other dimensions near your own, that you can tune into and interact with. The process he described reminded me of when you are delicately moving the dial on a radio between stations. A good portion of what he was describing suddenly became incomprehensible as he was speaking, maybe about 40% of his explanation. In the dream, this loud train, or maybe a gust of wind, started to go by outside that made hearing him difficult. I suspect this noise was a metaphor for not being able to comprehend the notions that he was describing. After his explanation, I was fascinated and thanked him. I then almost immediately woke up. I find this sudden waking happens to me a lot with dreams that feel like more than just normal dreams. I suspect this experience may have been one of those.
Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I Didn't Know His Name Yet, by KK. About 5 years ago, I got a job as a receptionist at a hospice facility. I know that sounds like a heavy environment to work in, but honestly, it wasn't as depressing as people assume. There was a surprising amount of warmth and humor in that place. The staff were incredible, and the families who came through were some of the kindest people I've ever met. Anyway, one of my jobs was to greet new arrivals and print out visitor badges. We had this cheap little label printer that sat on the edge of the front desk, and it worked about 70% of the time. The rest of the time, it would just decide to spit out labels at random, or print half a name and freeze. Classic low-budget equipment stuff. One afternoon, I was sitting at the desk alone, while the other receptionist was at lunch. It was a quiet day. No one else was in the lobby. Phones were silent. I was going through the intake list for the following week when the printer made a loud mechanical chug and printed out a name badge. I figured someone had clicked print remotely, so I picked it up. It just said, Gerald M. I checked the visitor logs. No one by that name was scheduled to visit. No one currently in the building had a last name starting with M. There wasn't even a patient with a relative named Gerald at the time. I shrugged it off. Maybe a test print or a glitch. About 10 minutes later, a woman walked in with her adult son. She introduced herself and said her father had just been transferred in that morning, and she was there to see him. I looked up his name and found the room number for her. Just as they were about to walk away, her son turned back to me and said, Oh, I forgot. My grandpa goes by his middle name. If that matters, it's Gerald. I blinked. Gerald M? He looked a little surprised. Yeah, how'd you know that? I didn't really have an answer. I just handed him the badge. The printer made it for you. He kind of laughed, thinking I was joking. I let him believe that. I know it was just a name, not exactly spine-tingling, but I hadn't typed anything in. No one had. And the printer had been idle all day until that moment. I still have the label saved in the back of my notebook. I'm not sure why. It just feels like it's not meant to be thrown away.
The Ghost That Traumatized Me for Life, by Lexi. I remember it so vividly. I was 12 years old and had just moved into a new house in rural Missouri. It was a winter school night. Well, school morning. I woke up randomly at exactly 5:23 a.m., a couple of hours before my alarm clock was supposed to go off, which wasn't a normal thing for me. I was a heavy sleeper. For a little context, I only had a twin bed with a nightstand next to it and my alarm clock on top. There was also an empty bookshelf across the room. Like I said, we had just moved in, so my room was pretty empty at the time. I stared at my alarm clock for a moment, still half asleep, before I felt this weird chill up my spine, like somebody was watching me. I turned my head towards the end of my bed, and I saw the silhouette of my little brother. He was about 7 years old at the time. He was standing at the edge of the bed, in the darkness. My first instinct was to get angry at him. "Xander, what are you doing in my room? Get out." But there was nothing but silence. "Xander," I said again as I sat up in bed. But the only response I got from him was a few steps forward. I leaned in closer, and he did too, but much more than I did. That's when I saw, in the faint moonlight, that this was not my little brother at all. This was a faceless child, inches away from me. It didn't have hair or clothes or anything, just white skin. It almost looked like Dear David, if you've ever heard about that story, except without the caved-in head. The moment I realized this, I screamed as loud as I could, which seemed to startle it. My scream sent it flying backwards to the ground, and it knocked my alarm clock down in the process. It began to crawl backward, almost spider-like, into the corner near my bookshelf, where it curled up on the floor, burying its head in its knees. That's when my mom came in and turned on the light, and it was gone. I was sobbing, shaking. I told her about what happened, but she said I was only dreaming. I tried to tell her that I wasn't. I was very much awake. And I pointed to my alarm clock, which was face down and halfway across the room. She still insisted that it was a dream, but she let me sleep in her room regardless. I didn't even go back to my room for another 2 weeks until my mom forced me to. I never saw it again, but that didn't mean that my family and I were ghost-free. We constantly heard things. Cups sliding across counters, bells ringing, a child's voice, and more. I'm 23 now, and when I think back on that memory, I think maybe it was just a child's spirit. Maybe it was curious. And if that's the case, I truly feel bad. But it still traumatized me. I just recently talked to my mom about it again. She said that actually, she did believe me at the time, and she was just as scared as I was. She didn't want to scare me even more by validating my experience. To this day, I try not to look for him in the dark at night.
Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
So a lot of our listeners have been rather concerned about my co-host, Brandon. So I think you should give me and everyone else an update on your health status. I actually don't know all the details yet myself.
Certainly, yeah. So the vertigo was due to vestibular neuritis, which I've never heard of before, but apparently it's like a regular viral infection, but it targets the vestibular nerve in the inner ear, and it causes a bunch of problems, including vertigo and nausea, dizziness, and I'm pretty good now. The only real lingering effect is just balance problems. I constantly take really wide left turns. I don't know if it's because it's in my right ear or what. It's just slightly more than mild of an inconvenience, but it's whatever. I'm living my life as normal, just been kind of taking it a bit more easy.
That's good. I'm glad that at least we know it's going to get better and it's not going to be like a lifelong chronic issue.
Yeah, 50 to 75% completely go away. So, hey, I could be part of the 25%, but let's not will that into existence.
Yeah, and I promise I won't make fun of you.
No, it's funny. Like, you can laugh at me all you want, okay. But it looks like I'm drunk when I walk around. I get so self-conscious when I'm out in public because I feel like I'm just the dude who walks around drunk at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday. If that's your thing, go for it, but...
No.
It's okay. I'm in good spirits about it.
That's good. I'm glad. I'm glad to have you back.
Maybe I should get a dog to assist me, like a service dog, a haunted dog maybe, at a grooming salon.
Yeah, a Scooby-Doo dog, apparently.
Yeah, I like that story. Thank you, Becca, so much for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest takeaway from that, well, not really a takeaway, but something that kind of stuck with me was the dog's reaction, not necessarily being like how you might expect a dog if somebody were to like start pounding on your door or do something that would be outright dangerous and they would like have the hairs raised and start barking like crazy. It almost seemed like it was scared of whatever it saw.
Yeah.
And it reacted accordingly. Like it knew that this danger wasn't something that it should try to mess with itself, but also we have our own internal reactions that we can't necessarily help. So I think the dog's reaction was kind of, well, very telling as to the severity of this presence.
Yeah. And I really wish we could see what they see, because clearly they have an extra sense with this kind of stuff based on how they react to paranormal entities and stuff like that. I just wish we could see what they're seeing. I want to know what these ghosts look like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not fair. It's really not fair. We need to. I think if we just get like maybe one of those old camcorders from like, I would say early 2000s would be like a good sweet spot. We might be able to find some answers.
Got one. We're good to go. I got tapes and everything.
It's like the mini DVR or whatever it is.
Yeah. It's perfect. Nice. Exactly that. I think it's from 2001.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is cool. I like that.
I've been trying to figure out what to do with it. I want to do a project with it, but I don't know what to film with it. It looks so cool.
Just record yourself doing like short stories, like the Wednesday one shots for Let's Not Meet. Just record those on the DVR and you got some low res type of thing you can throw online. Even though they have filters for that. I
was just going to say there's filters for it, so it's pointless.
I know. And I hate that. It's it lowers the barrier of entry, which is a good and bad thing, but it's kind of like texting back in the day on the old Nokia phones. I was the pretentious jackass who like spelled out all my words and used proper grammar, not to like to be like annoying or anything, but like it just felt wrong to use shorthand, or like because being spelled as BCUZ. Just no, yeah. Like I took my time, and now anybody and everybody is kind of, for the most part, texts normally and eloquently, and it can kind of fool you. Now you can't really weed people out through text now because their phone just makes them look all perfectly eloquent, which, you know, I guess that's not so bad. But yeah, the lower barrier of entry isn't always a good thing, I'd say.
Yeah, I agree. So getting back to Becca's story, the spirits, for some reason, became active when discussed. It's kind of a recurring theme in a lot of our stories. I really wonder what they're doing in the meantime, in between us calling upon them and talking about them. So, it summons them into an existence of ours. Like, what are they doing in between? Are they just hanging out? Are they going to, like, clearly they're haunting this location. They're stuck there, I guess. What are they doing in the meantime?
I think it's like the metaphorical rubbing of the lamp to release the genie. He's always there, but you got to rub the lamp and boom, he's there.
It's got to be so boring.
I know. Just like this, maybe that's what purgatory is. It's just that stage where we're actually here, but also not. Maybe that's what purgatory is supposedly meant to be. I don't know.
It makes me wonder, though, because the spirit didn't show up until it was talked about.
Mm-hmm.
If like the listeners have experienced increased paranormal activity after sharing their stories on the podcast. Are we contributing?
Or even listening to the show.
Yeah, are we contributing to paranormal activity out there?
I think so. That's actually really funny because we've talked about how consuming paranormal content could potentially like open some sort of gate. But here we are, we're providing a gate and people are walking through it anytime they listen to the show. So maybe we are sort of contributing to a little bit of something, but hopefully it's all been good vibes, good spirits and all that. Let us know though.
Yeah, we've been talking so much crap about like consuming paranormal content and it opening these like black holes to spirits and stuff into your life, but we're literally doing that. We're doing exactly what we were complaining about.
Blood on our hands, all innocent.
Yeah. Yeah, rules for thee, not for me.
Exactly. Well, no transition here, but let's just talk about that story with that weird neighbor with the author whose brother died.
Oh, yeah, Glutton King. Okay, yeah, we don't need transitions. We can just go on with it. I like that. I like that format. So, yeah, the author's brother passes away from an overdose, and then, you know, they're revived by machines. However, I found this to be interesting. The author said that they felt that the spirit left the body of the brother when they found them and they died at the house. Hmm. Not after, like after they revived him on the machines, they don't believe that there was a spirit. They don't believe there was a soul in that body. They believe personally that the spirit left their brother. I found that to be interesting. And I've always thought about that because people will die and then they'll have near-death experiences where they go to heaven or some afterlife and they have this psychedelic experience. And then they're revived minutes later and they're back in their body. Did their soul leave their body and just come back? Like, did the silver cord not completely disconnect? Mm. That's a really, really weird thing that I've thought about quite often. And, you know, Glutton King and their theory about this, I kind of agree. I agree that when somebody dies, their body, their spirit leaves. And if they're not brought back to life, then the spirit doesn't come back. However, if they're brought back to life on machines and it's not a full consciousness reboot,
part of them remains away, basically.
Yeah. Is that just the body being alive with no soul in there? That's kind of creepy when you think about it. It's such a weird, abstract concept.
Yeah. Like not quite a vegetative state, but yeah, like part of them just wouldn't return. Like it'd still be a functioning human, like for the most part. I mean, every situation is going to be different, but I could see it playing out that way where, yeah, this person is conscious, but not all of their soul has returned into that consciousness and they're just a little bit different. Like we see that with people that come back from surgeries, even being completely put under, which you would think wouldn't really make all big of a difference. But yeah, I've known at least a couple people who have had some pretty severe surgeries, like in their heart or in their brain even. And it's like a completely different person, not a bad thing at all. And no significant paranormal things that occur with it. But still, there's like something there. I don't know if it might be like a new appreciation for life, but yeah, no, it's definitely a thing.
Yeah. And another thing about this story is that they got me thinking about possibly making friends with my neighbors because this was interesting how the neighbor that they didn't even know showed up and was somehow channeling the brother that had passed away. And there's two sides of my brain here. One is thinking, oh, wow, this woman doesn't know them. How could she know the brother died? And how would she know to apologize for the bad things they did? Because, you know, it was an overdose. Obviously, they were struggling with drugs, doing things that they shouldn't have been doing with their life. But the other side of my brain thinks, yeah, they saw the ambulances showed up. And then they talked to the EMTs or the police officers. They found out what happened and they wanted to either pull a prank or scam them or something. I don't know. The critical or skeptical part of my mind goes there. And it got me thinking, like, maybe I should make friends with my neighbors so that I guess I can kind of get a feel for them in case something like this happens to me. Neighbors will run to help each other in times of need. And I've seen it happen. I've done it myself. But we all just pretend like we don't really know each other or want to talk to each other. You just see your neighbor, you just kind of wave or you nod or, hey, how's it going? You never really talk to them or get to know them, but we live with them for years and years and see them almost every day. I don't know what it is inside of me, but I just have this aversion to talking to neighbors, and now I feel like I should.
No, I get that way too. And especially like you mentioned, like getting to know them to kind of feel them out, you got to catch their baseline for sure. Otherwise, like any interaction that you do have that is important, you're not going to have any idea if they're BSing you or what their angle is or anything. So yeah, that's really important. I totally get that though. It's the same thing for me. Like my neighbors came by and gave me a loaf of bread and some like homemade cinnamon butter for Christmas. And I'm just thinking like, oh man, reciprocity, this sucks. But it was cool. No, it was whatever. But why? It's like one of those unwritten social formalities where we know that we should, but nobody really wants to, so we don't. But then we still all try, and it just turns into this big old thing. If it hasn't happened within like the first couple months of moving in, it's going to feel forced and weird, but yeah, whatever. I exchange phone numbers with one of my neighbors so we can kind of do a quick lookout if we need to and anything like that. But yeah, there's no sort of, you coming over to watch the game?
Oh, nope. No, no way.
Absolutely not. No. I don't want to know people that well that live so close to me, because if that goes sour, you're stuck with them. It's like a roommate that you can't get rid of. And
yeah, they're showing up all the time wanting to hang out, inviting you to stuff, and you have to say no to it. You have to come up with excuses of why you can't do it.
When I lived in a duplex, and I think he did say that he was listening to the show. I don't know if he was BSing or not. You know, he was an energy vampire. I love you to death, dude, but like, you got to like learn to read people a little bit better. And like the fourth or fifth, like, no thanks. I don't want to play poker and drink beer in your garage until 2 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday. Like, please leave me alone, respectfully.
Yeah, I would hate to get stuck with one of those. We almost did, but she picked up on the signal right away. And I'm pretty sure I talked about this when we first moved in.
I remember it, yeah.
Yeah, there was the woman that showed up, and she said she knew the previous owners and she was friends with them. She used to come over all the time. And she was like trying to look into the door while she was welcoming us and talking to us, and tried to like weasel her way inside to see what we did with the place.
Yeah.
But I just was not having it. I was like, I got to put my foot down right now, otherwise this is going to be a problem. And I did, and she picked up on it, and now she doesn't even wave at us or say hi to us.
Good.
I guess I was a little too heavy-handed.
That's almost exactly what happened with my opposite neighbor, not the phone number exchanging one, but the other one. Shortly after moving in, she like walked into my garage with her chihuahuas. You know, they were all cute and all that. I forget why I had to run inside to get something, but like I had to grab something to show her. And as I opened the door, like she was like following me, taking it upon herself to try to walk into my house. And it was so weird. There was no like, oh, hey, let's go check this out. Like I specifically said, I'll be right back. And she followed me to the door, and I had to like stop and like, oh, excuse me. Ever since then, it's been weird. Yeah. No, she's like a true, like, let's not meet type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Neighbors are either bad news or they're respectful and they're just kind of the same thought. Like most of my neighbors, it's, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? However, the neighbors directly beside me on the left and right, neither of them really speak English, and we just don't interact whatsoever. But everybody else is really, really friendly. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Hey, neighbors, can't live with them, and we prefer to live without them, but here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the neighbors across the street are listening, I do like you. You guys are cool.
Yeah, definitely. If any of my neighbors are listening, I love you. But I definitely would not want a neighbor showing up on my doorstep channeling my dead relative. I just don't like that. I don't like that at all. I don't like channeling when it comes to spirits and loved ones, like seances, stuff like that. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I'm over it. I even though like the last time I ever like touched a Ouija board, it was a pleasant encounter. I just feel like for me, I'm not meant to be dabbling in that. I can be a passive consumer and a messenger, but I'm not into the channeling or trying to get any of that into my life directly.
Do you remember the seance scene from The Changeling?
Oh, it's been so long.
Oh man, rewatch it again sometime soon. That is the scariest seance scene from any movie. I love it. It's a really good movie.
I've seen that movie twice. I should probably give it a third watch.
Yeah.
I remember liking it a lot. It's how like most movies seem to be. Like, oh yeah, I recall liking that so much, but I can't play it back at all.
Oh yeah. I actually love that because then you watch it again and it's like, oh yeah, I remember this. And it's just a fun experience.
About as fun as having an indigo baby.
Good transition. I like that.
Thanks. Thank you. Yeah. So if you had kids and your child were to show any sort of precognitive abilities, would you like nurture that? Or would you kind of like, oh no, you're not supposed to do that? Or would you just kind of stay neutral? How much would you acknowledge and lean into it?
I would lean into it in a non-public way. I wouldn't put them, because I feel like most parents these days would do this.
Yeah.
They would put their kids on the internet and make TikToks and try to capitalize on this. I would not do that, first of all.
Thank you.
But I would, however, try to get whatever professionals I could into my home to validate whether or not it's a real indigo baby or they do have this type of precognition.
That's fair.
I would do everything I could to get my experience and my kids' experience on the books so that it contributes to the study of the paranormal, the supernatural, the precognitive, all of it. I think that it would be cool to just give them the full gamut of tests and figure out if it's true or not. That's what I would be focused on.
Yeah, just a lot of objective observations, recording it and just not really having any emotions tied to it, being simple and by the books, quite literally, and see where it goes. I think that's important.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't be creeped out by it. I think it's really cool. I think the indigo children theory is awesome. I love reading stories about them. It's really interesting.
Yeah, especially when they have a blank slate and don't really have any reason to say or know some of the things that they say. With this with this one with the kid with the water, how the daughter was in the hallway and she was in the corner, we could say like, okay, of course, the mom is getting up. Why else does anybody else get up in the middle of the night to get some water or go to the bathroom?
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
However, the fact she was just in the corner like that and just turns, like that whole thing, it gave me chills. It really did. And
Me too.
It felt familiar, but I scoured everything that we've had before, and I really hope this wasn't a repeat. If it was, I apologize, but something about the mom going down the hallway late at night and then the daughter turning her head, I'm thirsty too, mommy. Something about that feels so familiar, and I did my best to see if it wasn't a creepypasta or if we haven't done it before. I came up empty-handed, so be loud and mean if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I've been there before. That gas station story with the mannequins, that one had me. I was so mad. I was like, I've done this story before. I know I've done this story before. And you know what? Actually, I'm not sure if any listener had responded with which episode it was where the original was. And now it's got me thinking, did we actually do it? Does it even exist? Because I can't find it. What episode did we do the gas station mannequins on?
I think somebody did reply on Spotify in the comment.
Okay, well, I missed it. Okay, all right, you must have seen it and approved it. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I would say anytime there's a repeat, people don't get the memo. If it's like a compilation episode, if we do like our quarterly break, we're very quick to hear, I've heard this before, either on your podcast or elsewhere, which, you know, that's okay.
Well, if you have a story that hasn't been featured on the show and you want to share it, make sure you send it in to stories@oddtrails.com. And thank you for listening. Sign up for our Patreon if you want to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate at patreon.com/oddtrails. Check out my new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you next week. Everyone, stay safe.
Peace out.
And the ghouls disturb you, darling. John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.